I'd like to invite you tonight over to the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 reads this way. It says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, knowing that you are in our midst and asking, Lord, for your blessing to guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Open your word that we might understand and, Lord, receive your truths and walk in them for your honor and glory and our blessing. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply The Righteousness of Faith. The Righteousness of Faith. And I believe if we'll pay careful attention to what God is saying here, this will unlock victory in our lives. Amen? Because it is the promise of God. It is in the hand of God, and God has already given it to us. We just need to walk in this truth that God has for us. So we're going to consider three thoughts this evening, and that is the importance of where our faith is placed in, where it's at. Secondly, the true faith conquers natural hope. True faith conquers natural hope. And we'll look at that. And then true faith will receive all of the promises of God. True faith will receive all the promises of God. So let me ask you this question. Why is the righteousness of faith so important that God placed it in his word? He wants us to know about it, isn't it? Doesn't he? He wants us to walk. He wants us to experience this faith. And again, we want to consider the word faith also being able to be used also as trust. Faith, we have faith in God. We trust in the Lord. That's our expression of faith. We're trusting in what he is saying, and we want to walk in that. See, a lot of times people, they say, well, I have faith to believe God, but then now I'm going to go ahead and do everything. And that's where things get haywire, and we miss out on what, we're not really putting our faith in the Lord. We're putting the faith in our own strength, and that brings confusion and a misunderstanding on our part, and we miss the blessings of God. So let's consider this first thought. The importance of where our faith is placed in. Look at verse 13. For the promise, speaking about Abraham and how God had given him this promise that he was going to make a great nation out of him. And by the way, it was before he had Isaac. Now, he already produced Ishmael in his own strength. But that was not the promise of the Lord. They tried to do it on their own and missed what God wanted. Now, Abraham is right around 100 years old or 100 years old, and Sarah is 10 years younger, so she's 90 years old. And what would happen if God told you at 90, if you're a lady, you're going to have a child, right? You would laugh too. You would say, no, that can't be. By the way, what about Abraham? Abraham was 100 years old. I don't know anybody that's ever made it to 100, but if you were to tell a fella at 100 years old, you're going to have a son, why, he might laugh as well. But not when we put our faith and trust in the Lord. Not when we see, we laugh. When Abraham laughed, I want you to know he was laughing at himself because he knew that he was not able to do that. It was beyond him. The Bible says his body was beyond that. It was dead. All right? So let's look at this thought here. Look at verse 13 again. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. This promise was to Abraham and it was to his seed, but it was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, there's only one person that's righteous, and that's God. Amen? He's the only one that's righteous. So let's kind of put all this thing together in our minds according to the word of God and not to our own thinking. So the Lord is the one that's righteous, and he's going to impart that righteousness by our faith or our trust in what he has promised. That's important. When God says, I'm going to do this for you, now you have the opportunity to either believe and receive or hear it and say, oh, though that's not for me. And so God wants us to receive all of his promises that he has given to us. So notice verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Why? Because the law worketh wrath. In other words, if you see the law and you say, oh, those are the rules I need to keep. So where's our faith? Listen carefully.
those are the rules I need to keep. Where's my faith? It's not in the Lord if I say, I need to keep them. They're in the Lord's. By the way, can we keep the law of God? No, we cannot keep the law of God. The purpose of the law was simply to show us that we are lawbreakers, right? That we don't keep the law. So notice again here, verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Now, he's not saying that the Jewish people were not the heirs, but they were not looking to the law for their righteousness. They were looking to the sacrifice of the Lamb to cover their sins. And they were also looking for the promised Messiah that would once and for all take away the sins of the world. And did the Lord Jesus Christ do that? Absolutely, he's done that already, so that's already done and passed. Okay, notice verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, but he says, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Jesus came to fulfill the law that we might receive his righteousness by grace. Now, we're going to look at this word grace here in just a moment, but let me remind you of something here. Grace is the God's grace, let's be specific, God's grace is his unmerited or unearned favor toward us because of his Son. God says, I have favor. Isn't that wonderful? If you're a saved child of God, you're looked upon by God, maybe not the world, you're looked upon by God with favor because of his Son. Amen. Does God love his Son? Yes. Are you in Jesus Christ? Amen. Then guess what? He loves us. Amen. That's exactly right. He loves us. And so know that you are a prized possession in God's mind. God loves us that much. That's important. And we want to put our faith and trust in him. Notice verse 16. Therefore, it is of what? It is of faith. And again, listen, it is of trust. Don't forget that word. It is of our trust in what God has said. Now listen, the Lord is not speaking this. He's not saying this to us tonight. He didn't put it in the book of Romans for us to read to say, wow, look at Abraham. No, listen, he wants us to know that the same love that God had towards Abraham, the same purpose that God had towards Abraham is also for you and I, that we might walk in his righteousness. So follow this. Watch what happens here. So he says, verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by what? Okay, it's by trust. If we're trusting in God, then the grace of God is ours, and that's unearned, unmerited. We didn't earn favor of God. Okay, we've got to take our eyes off of ourselves and look to the Lord. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Listen, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Is that us? Absolutely. We are the seed of Abraham. That's what the Bible teaches. So God wants us to know. By the way, listen, are the Roman Christians that Paul is writing to, are they saved? Yes, they're saved. So why is he telling them this? Because God is wanting us to know, not just to be saved, but to enter into the promises of God. That's one thing. Question. Were the Jewish people that took the Passover lamb and applied it to their lives, when they left Egypt, were they saved? Absolutely they were saved. But did they enter into the promised land? No, they did not, because of unbelief. So likewise in our lives, we can be saved and be missing out on the promises that God wants us to walk in. So watch very carefully here as we consider this. Therefore, it is a faith, verse 16, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law or the Old Testament, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And by the way, I want you to know that when God gave Abraham that you're going to be a father of many nations, it was before circumcision. We're not going to go there, which is a seal, which is a sign. So it was actually before the law, right? And by the way, the law hadn't been given till some many centuries later to Moses. So he wants to make sure God does everything on purpose with a purpose. Do you believe that? God does everything on purpose and specifically in a certain way so that there will be no confusion as to what God is trying to communicate to you and I as his children. So, notice this, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. By the way, listen. Again, God gave Abraham this promise when he couldn't have children. He did have Ishmael 15 years prior, or 14 years prior, somewhere right around there. But anyway, now Abraham can do absolutely nothing about it. So he waited for Abraham to come to the end of his power. To try to do anything that God wanted him to do. Or, this is important. God is also wanting us to come to the end of ourselves and our way of thinking. We're not placing our faith in the Lord. We might have a relationship with God in salvation, but we're going to miss the promised land or the promises that God wants us to enter into. So notice verse 18. Who against hope. Now this is important when we consider this. Who is against hope. This is the wrong kind of hope. Who against hope believed in hope. See? What was that? So Abraham had hope when he still had strength. Abraham had hope when him and Sarah got together and say, here's Hagar. You can do this. You can do this. But no, God says, oh no, no. You've got to lose hope in yourself before you can receive the hope of God. You've got to stop looking to what you can produce and put your faith, your trust, or your hope where? In the Lord, in what he has promised. And so, listen, has God given to us his righteousness in the blood? Yeah, but here's the thing. God wants his righteousness to live through your life and mine. God, listen, God does not want you to try really hard to keep the Ten Commandments. God doesn't want you to try really hard to keep everything that Jesus Christ has commanded in the New Testament. God wants us to receive his righteousness so that he can produce the fruits of the Spirit. All those things. We've got to come to the end of ourselves if we're ever going to walk in that. And by the way, I am convinced that is what the Lord is looking for to bring revival. I'm convinced of that. See, we cannot walk disobedient to the Lord and say, God, bless me. I'm walking in sin. I'm failing you, Lord. I don't see the fruits of the Spirit in my life, but give me revival. How long have we been praying for that? I will tell you all the live long day since I've been saved. And I have not seen a revival like what the Bible calls revival. How about you? I've not seen one. But see, God is waiting for his people to yield to him and say, okay, Lord, I'm laying it all on the altar and I'm just going to look to you. And I'm going to start looking for you in my life every day to perform what you've promised. Watch what's going to happen. See, we're going to be busy doing this. We're going to be busy doing... You hear? Listen, I didn't realize there's a lot of baptismal revivals going around out there, but none of them are bringing any new people to church. They're meeting in Tampa. I didn't know that. They had a big beach baptism there. They had one somewhere in Texas, I think, somewhere off on the Gulf Coast, and they had one out in L.A. And one guy was commenting. He said, it's an amazing thing. It's all about the music. They bring all this music in and no preaching. What kind of a crowd do you think they would have if they flipped the script? No music, just preaching. How many of you think show up for that? Not a probably one of them. Amen? And that's because it's not about the Lord and his righteousness. It's about people, you know, this is going to make me feel good. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And they're going to miss the Lord completely on that. All right, watch this. So who against hope, verse 18, believed in hope. Listen. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That was God's promise to Abraham when he told him he was going to have Isaac. So what he did was he against hope believed in hope. So he against hope, in other words, he had no hope in himself, but was placing his hope on the promise of God. You see the difference? So when we start looking, look, the Lord said, I have come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. Do you believe that? He's not talking about just eternal life. He's talking about that the world might see a witness of a changed people, a peculiar, a royal priesthood. But if we don't believe that, well, we're just going to do the best we can, by golly. We will not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," because we've been busy looking to ourselves and missing God. So notice what happens here. Verse 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body," now what? See, we got to die. We got to see that we are dead. We are dead. Let me ask you a question. Don't answer this question out loud. Can you keep the righteousness of God? Can you produce the righteousness of God? Can you love those that don't love you in your power? Can you turn the other cheek and not give people what for in your own power? I can't.
No.
I can't. I'd be the first one. I can't. So why am I going to keep doing, you know the definition of insanity, right? Is to keep doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different outcome. It's never going to happen. So how about we prove God in doing and performing what he's promised to do? All right, so watch this, 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." They're both dead. They've got life. But as far as the promise of God, you know what they've come to the conclusion? Can't do it. Can't do it. How about you and I? The promises of God. Can you do it? I can't. So who do I need to look to if I expect to see him perform what he's promised? It has to be the Lord. Can't be me. All right. So they're both dead. It's not with Abraham anymore, and it's definitely hadn't been with Sarah for quite some time. So this is really true faith that conquers natural hope. Remember, Abraham had hope in himself at first, and he produced Ishmael. Was that God's promise? No, that was not God's promise. Was that God's will? No, that was not God's will. Until this day, those are the culprits that cause Israel all the trouble. All right, so now God waits for a time to where he's certain Abraham isn't going to come up with any good ideas, or so-called good ideas. So now Abraham has no hope in himself, so there's only one place he can place his hope to see this son of Isaac come to pass. And who's he going to place his hope in? It has to be the Lord. Because he says, man, I'm dead. I can't do that, and neither can Sarah. So question, did God bring... So they had to put their faith in the Lord in order to walk by faith to watch God perform what he's promised. So they had to use faith in that. All right, so watch this. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promises of God. There's the promised land. There's the promises of God. Here's what we do. Oh, I can't do that. Well, we're right. I've said that. I can't do that. But I'm going to try. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because how's it worked for you so far? You failed God. How do you know that, Brother George? I'm a little offended. You're telling me I failed the Lord. Because I failed God. And we're just alike. We're human beings. I can't do it. You can't do it. And we both know it. So let's stop looking to ourselves and look to the one who can. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look to the one who can do it. Who, and by the way, who's promised. So verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Did you hear that? He gave glory to God. Does God want you and I to glorify him?
Yes.
Absolutely he does. He wants us to glorify him. He is not finished with us, or we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
All right. Last thought. True faith will receive all the promises of God. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and, listen, being fully persuaded. By who? Oh, isn't that good? That's exactly right. Abraham was persuaded by the Lord about what? Let's see. He was fully persuaded. And by the way, God wants us to, this is in here for us to look to as the recipe for success. God wants us to be fully persuaded. Can you be fully persuaded to believe God in every word he has spoken? Does he speak the truth or does he lie? He all truth. There's no lie in God. All right, so watch this. And be verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, who promised? Isn't that good? Isn't that good? All we have to do is be fully persuaded in what God has promised us. That's it. We are the seed of Abraham. God left us here to produce fruit, but not in our power. All right, so watch this. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Who? Who was able to perform? Oh, it's not me? It's not you? Who is it? So why do we keep trying? Well, we keep trying because we love the Lord. But we love him amiss. Because God says, if you love me, do what I'm saying. If you love me, listen to what I'm saying and follow the recipe. All right. So, verse 22. And therefore, because he was persuaded at what God had promised, that God was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That was put to his account. That's a banking term, imputed. Put, reckoned is another banking term. He put it to his account. In other words, spiritually speaking, Abraham was flat broke. Wasn't he? He couldn't produce Isaac. He was flat broke. God put into his account what was needed for him to have Isaac. God will put to your account when we look to him, God will count that for our righteousness and begin to produce fruit that will honor him. Amen. Did Isaac, was that God's plan, Isaac? Absolutely, that's where Jesus came through. And by the way, listen, is it God's plan for you and I to be fruitful and multiply? Yes. Oh, but we have to abide in him. We need to understand what that means. Oh yeah, I'm abiding in him and we're busy trying to do it ourselves. No, we're not abiding in Christ when we're trying to do it ourselves. We can know the answers and miss God. Did God tell Abraham and Sarah before Ishmael that God was going to give him a son? Yes. But did they do it God's way when they came up with Ishmael? We can know the promises too and not do it God's way. All right. Verse 22. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed or put to his account to him, but for who? Woo! That's us. Amen? That's us. But for us also, to whom it shall be, listen, to whom it shall be, it can be also imputed, put to our account. What? The righteousness of God that bears fruit. So watch this. But for us also, verse 24, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. But I thought they were saved, Brother George. They are saved. But they're not walking in the righteousness of God. They're walking in their own righteousness. Are they saved? Oh, yeah. But they're walking in their own righteousness. I'll do. And here's what we do. Here's what. Listen, let me just show you my righteousness. You can check if this is yours. I can do this even though God said not do it, and it's okay. That's my righteousness. Oh, I'm not talking about adultery and murder and those things, but I could do these other things that nobody will see. That means I can just smile and say, oh, I love Jesus and I love you and not love you. Oh, nobody will ever know that. That's my righteousness. And listen, some people, I'm probably one of them, are not the easiest to get along with. Amen? My wife says, I always love you, but there are sometimes I don't think I like you. But here's the thing. We can excuse ourselves and do things that dishonor God, and bless God, we're right, and be dead wrong, and not even flinch at the idea that we will give an account to God for every thought that we have thought and every deed that we have done. We will excuse ourselves, thinking that will never. I forgot about it. God forgot. Grace. No, that's not the way God works. God tells his people, we will give an account first. And listen, God, you know why God is telling us all these things? So that we can know who we are, let go of that, and look to the Lord. Amen. So watch this. verse 24, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That resurrection is important. That's the power of God. Amen. Now watch this. Who was delivered for our offenses. Remember, he was delivered. What happened when he was delivered? Why, my goodness, they tore out his beard. They whipped him. He was a bloody mess. And he spilled his blood on the cross and shed it for our sins, for our offenses. Is that not what the Lord did? But it didn't finish there. Notice, who was delivered for our offenses, and that's a conjunction, right? We're still not finished with the thought. And was raised again for our what? Our salvation was on the death. Our justification that we are sons of God and daughters of God is because of the resurrection. So we find this foundation right here. And by the way, if we look at it that way, wait a minute, Jesus died on the cross for my offenses, for my sins, but he was raised again to justify me as his son and his daughter that produces his fruit. Because we're abiding in the vine. We're remaining in him. And he's working in us. That's the kind of witness that God wants the world to see. Right. Not ours. His in us. And by the way, this really sets the foundation that will bring chapter 5 in the book of Romans, but really the rest of the book of Romans together in our thinking as well. But let's just consider one last thought here in chapter 5. Therefore, because of what was just said, that's what therefore is. What was previously there? Therefore, being justified. Remember that justification came by the new power. The resurrection power. Separate those two. Our offenses or our sins was on the cross. The resurrection is to justify. What kind of justification? They belong to Jesus Christ. What justifies them? Look at their life. Look at the power of God. God is resting on them. See, listen, until that's revival. If you want to see the Lord work, seek him personally to perform what he has promised to you and I. To us individually, specifically. Seek that kind of justification personally in your own life. Don't just say, oh, yeah, I can't do it. Oh, you know, God winks at that. That's okay. Grace. Baloney. That's not the purpose of God. You won't hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if you're not seeing the power of God in your life. So look at verse 1, 5, chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith or trust, we have what? We have peace with God. God wants to give you his peace, not the world's peace. The world thinks everything's all right. God's going to weigh out my good and my bad. They don't have real peace because they're always thinking, but what if? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, listen, through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, listen to this, by whom we also have access, by faith or trust, into this grace. He's speaking to believers to have this grace. They don't automatically have it. And that grace is unmerited favor that God would work in your life and mine with his righteousness. That we would truly not have a fabricated life, a life for the Lord. In other words, fabricated, well, yes, I love everybody, and really I don't. But yes, Lord, your love that lets me see them, listen, the love that God wants me to have for all of his people and the lost world is the love of Christ. Because you know what? Listen, who am I that I have been given? Who are you that you have been given eternal life? I'm nothing. There is nothing special at all in me. I'm nothing. And yet God not only gave me eternal life, but he also wants to shine his life through mine. God wants to shine his life through mine. The question is, do I believe God wants to do that? Has God made that promise? Yes, he has. Verse 2 of chapter 5, and we're done here. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein ye stand. Right? Wherein we stand. That's us. We. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The glory of God. Does it glorify the Lord to walk in sin?
No.
No. In fact, finish chapter 5, look at chapter 6, and my goodness, he says, shall we continue in sin because grace abounds? Oh no, that's not the grace God's talking about. So the real truth is, Do we really want revival? If we want revival, revival comes from one place and one place only. You know where that's at? Tell me. Where? God. God. How will revival come? When we believe God. When we put our trust in what He has said and said, fulfill that in me, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The righteousness of faith. That's what God's talking about. We're just talking about grace. Grace. But what kind of grace? Here's the kind of grace that today's people, Christians, are speaking about. Oh, it's all covered under grace. What about the glory of God? What about the righteousness of God? Where is that? He says this is the kind of grace that God wants to put in our lives. The power of God that changes our lives for His glory. Amen. That's God's purpose for your life and mine. Every believer. If we'll believe Him. If we are persuaded at what He has promised, that who will perform? God. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. Lord, we ask Your blessings as we break off for prayer. Open up our hearts and minds to receive Your truth, to believe You, Lord, to be fully persuaded that You will fulfill what You've promised, that You might be glorified, and that we might be even greater, have greater awe and adoration for who You are in our lives. Bless again, Lord, and we'll give You all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.